On the celebration of our Lord's ascension, we direct our attention to the text before us from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, and not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. As a pastor, you sometimes have very memorable, little poignant conversations with people at certain points in their life or in your own life, and things that stand out. One that I've maybe mentioned before that I often think of when I read this text is years ago when I was a very young pastor, a mother who was probably in her late 20s at the time, right after women's Bible study came up to talk to me one day and pulled me aside. And we had just been discussing heaven and the importance of being focused on that. And she said, "How do you make sure that your kids stay focused on going to heaven? It just seems impossible." And I remember exactly where we were standing when we had that conversation. And the way she looked at me with just not sure how she was going to be able to do that. She had three children at the time. And she's right, it's a difficult task. There are so many things in this life that can distract us and pull us away from being concerned about the ultimate final goal that we have of our faith, that our Lord has won for us. And, you know, think in your life, just in a typical day-to-day thing of your life, all the stuff you have to do, it's really amazing. All the tasks and little responsibilities, sometimes surprises that come up, things that challenge our time. And it all takes mental focus and attention to get through it. It all requires some thought and intelligence. God certainly cares about the things that we have to take care of in this life. The Bible talks a lot about that too. And at the same time, it can sometimes, I know for myself, be easy to start forgetting about what the real final goal and purpose of all of this faith really is. Jesus warns us about this frequently when he discusses spiritual lives for us. I think of the parable of the sower and the different types of ground. And he talks about how the weeds can grow up around the plant and start to slowly choke off that plant, thinking of it as faith. And he says it's the pleasures and cares of this world that ultimately choke off faith. Now think of that statement, the pleasures and the cares of this world. Those are opposite ends of the spectrum, right? Pleasures are all the things that are great and exciting and fun that we can try to do. And on the other end of the spectrum is all the cares and the anxiety and troubles and problems and worries that can besiege us. And both of these ends of the spectrum, he says, have the potential to derail our faith from staying focused on the eternal home that's been prepared for us. In the book of Revelation, when God is addressing the church in Ephesus, he says to them, "You have forsaken your first love." Now, the letter to the Ephesians, that same congregation, just a few decades earlier, Paul says this about them: "I heard about your faith in Jesus and your love for all the saints." Think of that, the congregation, just in maybe a 20-some year, maybe 30, 40-year time span, had, according to what is written in Revelation, lost their first love. So it can even happen to a congregation, not just to the individual. To the church in Laodicea, this is what was said: "You are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." These are some harsh warnings, even to those who are inside of the visible church, to be careful not to lose our love of the gospel and the ultimate goal and prize that God has for that in our eternal home in heaven. And this can just happen very subtly in us. When I was in college, I had a pretty decent friend that we would often stay up late night talking about spiritual matters. He was considering going into the ministry. Just a couple years later, he married a young woman that didn't seem to care about any of that. For decades now, he has not been to church. For decades, didn't raise his children in the Christian faith at all. And I look back, it's like, what happened? Where did that start? Where did that, that's this thing that he was so enthusiastic about at one point, that he wanted to take his life and even lead other people to see that through Christ, and yet here kind of slipped away from it so easily. And so for this reason, the believer's faith must constantly be uplifted and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. And Paul does that for us in our text. Set your hearts on things above. Notice he says, where Christ is seated. Makes us think of the ascension of our Lord, who spent 40 days after his resurrection talking and performing miracles and speaking. And finally, after 40 days, ascends up into heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, that doesn't mean that our Savior has left us alone or gone away from us. In fact, even in the Bible, we see post-ascension appearances by Jesus. He appears to Saul and converts him on the road to Damascus. Speaks to John on the island of Patmos. But he now chooses to go about his work in a little different way through the means of grace. And as true God and still at the same time true man, he selects a very unique mode of presence to be present among us in his church. But he's no less involved with our spiritual lives. He's no less involved with the spiritual life of the believers in his church. Now that Christ has ascended to heaven, in fact, we could say, now the church enjoys, if you will, the best of both worlds. We still have his same powerful presence on earth through his means of grace, baptism, the Lord's Supper, his word. And at the same time, he's seated in heaven, ruling all things for the sake of his church, and has gone there to prepare a place for us. The church in this life, in this world, members of the church have Christ, the best of both worlds in that sense. And his ascension to heaven has tremendous meaning for you. Look what Paul says. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. How much better of a place could it be, right? Your life is right now hidden with Christ in God. That's how connected God sees you as one of his children to this work of Christ. And the work that he has come to accomplish for us is all done. It's all complete. There's nothing remaining that has to be done. If you think about a contractor who's building a garage for someone on their property, and the owner of the home goes out and checks once in a while to see how progress is being made on that new facility, and isn't always quite sure when everything's totally done. But finally, when the contractor packs up all the tools and puts together all the things needed to build that and comes to the door and says, it's all finished and accomplished, and here's the keys, you can now use that garage and everything. Now you know that it is complete and done. The fact that our Lord Jesus is no longer here in his local mode of presence on earth is an indication to you and me that whatever it took to buy your entrance into heaven is complete. In fact, from the cross, he said, it is finished. And that word in the Greek means there's nothing more that can be added. It's not as though God comes to you and me and says, okay, Christ did this for you, but there's still some more that you have to do. There's something left in the balance that has to be put there on your behalf, and then you can be sure you're going to heaven. No, it's finished. It's done. It's complete. The tools have been packed up. It's all gone. The job site is complete and finished. There's nothing more for any of us to do. The napkin covering the head of Christ when he was buried and put in the grave, after his resurrection now, has been folded up neatly by God and his angels to show that this has all been done and accomplished for us. And so by his ascension, our Lord Jesus has gone on to do the greatest thing for your future, and that is to prepare a home for you in heaven. Some of those famous passages we love In my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If it was not so, I would have told you. He's very adamant about it. And notice the certainty that Paul speaks of here when he describes your future heaven as well. Notice the confidence in his words. He says, "You died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." The humble little faith in your heart that cherishes Christ as your Savior, that appreciates the forgiveness of your sins and knows that in him you are a righteous saint, that precious little gift of faith that grabs onto that is the very magnet now that will draw you finally to that beautiful home in heaven. That mother that I mentioned who talked to me after women's Bible study that day many years ago, sad to say, had terminal cancer years later in her life, decades later. And I had an opportunity to go and speak with her on her deathbed. And she was so focused on heaven. You know, you see this oftentimes as pastors when you go visit people. All the other things in life, when you're finally dealing with your exit plan, all the other things in life just don't seem to really matter much. And suddenly that brilliance of what Christ has come to win for us, the hope of heaven, just starts to shine ever more brightly and becomes so important. And all of a sudden, the believer's mind and heart has such clarity about what really matters in life. Your Lord says to you, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the very righteousness he's given you by faith, and all these other earthly things shall be added unto you as well." Amen. Please rise. And we pray. O Jesus Christ, the Almighty Son of God, you are no longer in humiliation here on earth, but are seated at the right hand of your Father, Lord over all things. We beseech you, send us your Holy Spirit, give your church pious pastors, preserve your word, control and restrain the devil and all who would oppress us, mightily uphold your kingdom until all your enemies have been put under your feet, that we may hold the victory over sin, death, and the devil. Through you, who live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.